From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I'm from the East Bay, from Concord.
Fruitvale, East Oakland.
I'm from Milpitas.
Berkeley.
Today on Cross Currents, the law that allows undocumented immigrants to get their driver's licenses turns one this year, and it's changed things for people who live in a place that's hard to get around.
You have to drive 30 to 40 minutes to do your laundry if you don't have laundry facilities at your home, which most people living on farms don't.
But the process hasn't been smooth for everyone.
And I keep asking them, but they're still trying to tell me that I'm not qualified.
And we'll hear from a man trying to bridge the cultural and communication gaps between African immigrants and the DMV.
You know, when people are frustrated, you try to understand why, you know, this is happening to me.
AB 60, 1 year later, today on Cross Currents. It's been just over a year since undocumented immigrants in California have been able to get driver's licenses through the AB 60 law. When the law took effect in January last year, there were extra long lines at DMV centers around the state. Close to 50,000 undocumented immigrants applied. Rosa Santos was one of them.
I passed the test. Yeah, I'm happy. I'm really happy.
Today, the DMV says it's issued over 600,000 AB 60 driver's licenses. Down the coast in Pescadero, farm worker Lupe Ramirez also has one. He and his wife got theirs together a year ago. KALW's Angela Johnston checked in with Ramirez to see how it's made a difference in his day-to-day life.
I meet Lupe Ramirez at the entrance of the K&S Ranch in Pescadero. It's right off Highway 1, about 25 miles south of Half Moon Bay. Ramirez works on the ranch doing maintenance, helping out with the land. In return, he and his family get free rent. It's lunchtime, and Ramirez wants to drive to downtown Pescadero for a burrito. The one taqueria in town has really good ones, he tells me. But before we pull out of the driveway, Ramirez wants to show me a very important piece of paper. He takes out his wallet and pulls out his driver's license.
Ahorita le estoy enseñando mi licencia, que es igual que las demás.
He tells me it looks the same as any other driver's license, except for small print in the right-hand corner. Most people can't tell the difference.
It's very small.
Ben Ranz is here too, sitting in the back seat. He's helping translate.
But it's like, what it actually says is not for federal use.
Ranz does outreach for Puente de la Costa Sur, a community organization serving the San Mateo coast. It's a community that's really hard to get around, especially if you don't have a car.
It's a really remote area, and access is limited to just about everything. I mean, you can't buy a pair of socks in Pescadero.
Shopping, laundry, banks, and schools are at least half an hour away, or more. Using the one bus that comes through Pescadero would take hours.
Si no tienes carro, es como no tuvieras pies porque no puedes salir.
Not having a car is just, you might as well not have legs, or feet, is what he said, because you can't go anywhere.
So before AB 60 passed, people like Ramirez just drove anyway and risked getting pulled over.
Sí, me paró una vez cuando al principio que llegué.
Yeah, they stopped me once right when I arrived.
When Ramirez first moved here from Oaxaca 13 years ago, he was pulled over by the police on his way to do laundry in Santa Cruz. He couldn't understand English. He didn't know what he did wrong.
Sí, me dieron un ticket, me quitaron el carro.
Yeah, they gave me a ticket, they took my car, and I had to walk home.
So when he heard he could apply for a license, he started studying.
How long did you study for?
¿Por cuánto tiempo estudiaste?
For 2 months.
When they were ready, Ramirez and his wife went to the DMV in Santa Cruz.
Porque lo que tú aprendes en el libro son las mismas preguntas que te hacen en el DMV.
He says what he learned in the book were the same questions they asked him at the DMV. Ramirez and his wife passed their tests on the first try. And afterwards, they came into a class at Puente to tell others about the process. It can be intimidating, learning what all the signs mean in English, waiting in line, taking a driving test.
Después que se sienta uno seguro, que ya sabes las reglas, pues Es lo demás es fácil.
But he says he told people that after you study and you know the rules, the rest of it is easy. Almost everyone he knows has tried to get their licenses.
There still are a lot of people that haven't gotten their license, that either haven't wanted to put the time into it or are afraid of taking a test. So to see somebody in your own community who's, you know, basically in your shoes succeed at doing it, I think really gave a lot of people a lot of confidence that they could continue.
Rand says so far about 100 people in Pescadero and the surrounding community got their licenses through the new law. But they aren't stopping outreach because new people are always arriving. He says a license isn't a good idea for everyone. For example, someone who has a DUI or past problems with immigration. But for most people, he says it's one of the first things he brings up.
Do they have health insurance? On your phone, do you have voicemail set up so somebody can leave you a message, like if the doctor can leave you a message? Do you have your driver's license? Like those are, like getting those things and a few others sort of nailed down really just makes your life a lot easier.
Now that he has his license, Ramirez isn't afraid to drive anymore. His daughter can go to a better school in Santa Cruz, one that's 40 minutes away from where they live.
Si no tuviera yo la licencia, pues ahorita mi niña viniera a Pescadero porque no me hubiera yo arriesgado ir todos los días dos veces a Santa Cruz.
Before he got it, he wouldn't risk driving that far. Now, Ramirez says he drives almost 2.5 hours every day. And he says he feels safer on the road, whether it's going to do laundry, pick his daughter up from school, or just order a burrito.
Un jumbo burrito de pollo asado con frijoles negros.
In Pescadero, for Cross Currents, I'm Angela Johnston.
Y una coca.
Una coca de lata o
de lata.
De lata. Algo más?
Sí. Ah, sí.
Estoy invitando, Oriel.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. AB 60 hasn't worked the same for everyone. For some people, a small complication can mean a long journey ahead to get their licenses. That's what happened to Echo Crofi, a Ghanaian national who came to the U.S. in 2006 on a visitor visa that then expired, making him undocumented. For a while, he worked under the table as a security guard in Oakland on the night shift, taking three buses to get to and from work. And then, when his wife and daughter joined him in 2013, he says things got harder because they were depending on him.
I want to get myself so I can go run and do things faster and then take care of family and also bring my children to school and all those things.
Echo needed a driver's license. So when he heard about AB 60, he jumped at the opportunity. He read up on the application process, gathered his documents, took his wife and daughter, and headed to the DMV. He says the lady at the counter looked at his papers and told him he didn't qualify. That was in February of 2015, a month after the state started accepting applications. I met up with Echo Crofi in downtown Oakland on a recent morning. He told me what happened next.
She started being difficult, and I said, "Why? Am I not qualified?" And she said, "Because I didn't have a passport."
Echo had a photocopy of his passport, but not the actual document. He says he lost it, and he couldn't get to his consulate to reapply for one because, well, he can't travel without ID. Remember, he's undocumented.
I feel bad. I feel frustrated. How could I get a passport whereby my consulate is not in California, it's in New York? And so how can I get there to get a passport whereby I don't have any ID with me to travel with
He was in a vicious circle. He needed a passport to show ID, but without an ID, he couldn't get to his consulate to get the passport. So Echo went back to the DMV's accepted documents list and found out the AB60 program does accept other documents to prove identity instead of a passport, like a foreign driver's license or a marriage certificate. They'll accept these provided you also have proof of California residency. Echo says he went to the DMV with all of that.
Birth certificate, which I had. Marriage certificate, which I have. Bank statement, which I have. This is another thing. They say they still want photo ID.
He had his license from Ghana, but it wasn't good enough.
They still said no. They still want my passport.
Echo went home and says he was at a loss. Was there something he wasn't getting?
I feel frustrated. I feel rejected. And I keep asking them, but they're still trying to tell me that I'm not qualified.
At this point, 2 months since he first went to the DMV, he sought help. He turned to the African Advocacy Network, AAN, in San Francisco, a group that's helping local immigrants navigate AB60 paperwork. AAN had teamed up with Asian Pacific Islander groups who say they've been hearing stories similar to Echo's from their communities, stories of rejection, confusion, and frustration. So they set up a meeting with the DMV in Sacramento. The director of AAN, Adubu Traore, asked Echo to come testify.
And I said, sure, I would love to do that because I don't know anything else I can do to get that driving license.
Echo says the DMV representatives heard his story, told him they understood his frustration, and took his paperwork for processing. After the meeting, Echo called the Ghanaian consulate to try and apply for a replacement passport, which he eventually got, and he took it and went back to the DMV. Now he was sure his paperwork was complete.
And so finally, I've got my passport. So this is my passport. This is all my document. And that is where they gave me a chance to write the exams. And I passed.
He passed the written driving test and thought, great, now I'll get my permit. But he didn't. Instead, he was told his application had already gone into another process called secondary review. That started when he first submitted his photocopied ID, so it didn't matter that he now had the original passport. If by now you're confused and frustrated by this sequence of events, according to AAN, so are many immigrants who lived it. The DMV says it's sorry.
We certainly apologize to anyone who experienced that delay, and we understand the frustration at some points that people felt and, you know, and waiting for reviewing of having their application processed through the secondary review process.
That's California DMV Representative Artemio Armenta. I called him up to ask why the AB60 process was taking so long for some people.
There was certainly a delay in processing just because we received such large volume and there was high interest in the program.
High interest, he says, from a variety of people with varying paperwork, which made it more challenging.
Every single applicant had a unique experience, a unique set of documents that they were bringing, different countries, different parts of geographic parts of the world.
Armenta says they've caught up on the backlog and now DMV's working on applications in real time. That's good news for folks applying now. Less lucky were folks who applied last year, like Echo Crofi. By February 2016, it had been a year since Echo applied for a license through AB60, and he still didn't have one. He was still taking his kids to school on the AC transit bus. He says he was losing hope. Then.
So one day I get home and my wife came and said, I've got a mail for you. And I said, okay. So when she gave it to me, I was thinking the same thing that they always send to me, you know, interview this and that. So I opened it and I saw my driving license. And I said, whoa, finally. Thank you, Jesus. And you can hear my car sound, and it sounds so good.
What?
My car sound, it sounds so good. The engine sound, yes.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank
okay.
you so much.
Thank you, and Echo.
Have a good day.
Bye, have Bye. A good drive.
You too, thank you. Bye.
You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. To get his license, Echo Crawfey sought help from the African Advocacy Network, AAN, in San Francisco. The director there is Adubu Traore. He called up Echo when he heard the good news.
Hey, Echo, hey, how you doing? This is Adubu. Yeah, I hope you're doing fine. Hey, congratulations. You know, I heard you got your AB60 license. So please give me a call back. I would like to hear, you know, how we're going to celebrate here your success getting this AB60. Looking forward to hearing from you, Echo, and take care and hi to your family there. Bye-bye.
For Traore, it's a success story he's happy about. But getting an AB60 driver's license has been especially hard for people whose country is not on the list. What list? Well, DMV has a list of countries whose nationals are approved to apply for AB60 because their passports have an electronic chip. Many passports don't have that update yet from mostly African countries like Ethiopia, Algeria, Cameroon. So for many of the estimated 26,000 undocumented Africans in California, that's meant going through a longer process and being forced to deal with their consulates, which are often uncooperative. And Traore says on the DMV side, people weren't trained to be sensitive to cases from African clients. They didn't know enough about the specific policies that affected them or their cultures. That's something he and his team are trying to address. Traore came by our studios and I asked him, when did he first find out there was a problem with the implementation of AB60?
We started receiving calls, you know, Africans saying, oh, I went there. And then they said that I cannot have it. You know, after they looked at my passport, they said, no, with such a passport, I cannot have the AB60. And the worst thing was that some of them had already gone through the test. So they're sitting, very excited, I'm going to get a license. And finally, you know, they call them aside and they say, no, you can't get it. And it's all the more frustrating that, you know, they're sitting and they're seeing other people, right, supposedly undocumented, you know, getting, you know, this license. So they're like, what's going on here? And that's why when I talk to people at DMV, I say, we need to be extremely cautious, you know, with this situation, because, you know, when people are frustrated, you try to understand why, you know, this is happening to me. Why me? Is it because of the way I look? Or is it because of where I'm from? Etc., etc. And so after a few calls, then people started saying, oh, yeah, I was told that, you know, this is not for Africans. So we started, you know, talking about the issue. Hey, listen, you know, our people are not, you know, being served because DMV, you know, I mean, in a nutshell, says that, you know, oh, they cannot, you know, verify, you know, the reliability, okay, of the passports, you know, issued by some African countries. And to us, you know.
And there's a list.
And then there's a list.
There's a whole list.
Oh, there's a whole list. And then, you know, the first thing we did was to count, you know, how many countries, you know. And then we found after 55 countries in Africa, there were like 30 that were out. So basically, we were like around 60%, you know, about 60% of the African countries whose passports, you know, are not accepted by DMV for whatever reason. So our first reaction was, okay, my God, how did they come up, you know, with this list? So then we asked them, how did you come up with the list? They said, in the phase of preparation, you know, for this AB60 before launching, you know, the project itself, they sent letters, you know, to consulates, you know, in California. So, of course, included African consulates. And we're like, well, Well, yeah, we got very few answers, you know, from African consulates. I said, yeah, of course you're not going to get any answers because African consulates, we don't have African consulates, you know, on the West Coast. You maybe have three or four, right, African consulates general, but all the others are honorary consulates. So, you know, the job is not to process, you know, this kind of thing, you know, that just...
And so the consulates don't really want to help you.
Well, you know, for some countries, yeah. And this is kind of a recurring story. When I talk to members, you know, and maybe not all, I guess, you know, as you may know from any country, you know, we hear as immigrants, some of the others, you know, are pro-existing government back home, and others are anti-government.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So I guess, you know, there's some people that they can serve because, you know, when, you know, they consider that, you know, you on their side, maybe,
oh, yeah,
you know, they will help you.
Oh, she's the daughter of such and such, and his brother is a minister.
Right.
Give it to her.
Right.
So in general, the nationals of these countries are at the mercy of the consulate.
Right.
Does the DMV understand that now?
This is what we've been explaining, you know, to the DMV. And because we've been telling them, you need to look at the background of the people that, you know, we're trying to serve, you know, for this AB60. What brought them, you know, to the U.S.? Some of them are fleeing some type of persecution. Some of them have been traumatized because they were tortured, you know, they were in prison and they, you know, they could barely escape, you know, I mean, with their lives. And now you're asking them to go back, you know, to the former torturers, you know, and request, you know, some documents why, you know, these torturers are still looking for them, you know, and we were kind of saying that, no, it doesn't make sense that, you know, there should be a way of finding a solution. If you look at it in a very single, I mean, in a very simple way, everybody that gets into the U.S., whether you entered with inspection, no matter what, the majority of Africans, you know, get into the U.S. with a visa. So they're fingerprinted. And this is like in the international database, right? And then they get here, you know, they go through DHS, you know, the Department of Homeland Security, so which checks everything. So why is DMV trying to reinvent the wheel? Okay, why, you know, there's a database of DHS? Isn't it quite simple, you know, to say, I mean, to contact DHS and then say, we have this person that says that they go by this name, so can you allow us or can you help us, you know, double check their identity? It's as simple as that.
Do you feel you're being heard by the DMV and that they're getting it and they are trying to find a solution?
Well, you know, the first step is that we've been meeting with them, right? And I think that, you know, this is, to me, you know, I read that, you know, as, you know, their desire, you know, to work with us, you know, in order to reach a solution. And I kept telling them, we're not sitting around, you know, as a community or as a service provider, and they said, oh, DHS is going to come up, you know, with the solution, you know. And I told them, I said, there's a lot of things that you don't know, and we're ready to educate you about that. For instance, you know, you don't know that, you know, they're like sub-regional organizations, you know, that issue common passport for several countries at a time. So instead of taking those countries one by one, why don't you look at, you know, I mean, the entire, you know, sub-regional organization, and that allows you, you know, to handle the issue of 10 countries, you know, at a time.
Mm-hmm.
These are all things that, you know, we think it's our job, you know, to keep insisting on them. So, you know, requiring meetings and kind of, you know, really making sure that, you know, we keep reminding them that, you know, there is a work that, you know, we need to do together. We're not just sitting around and looking at you working, but
we are
again,
empowered.
Yeah, we are part, you know, of the process for finding a solution.
Okay. That's Adubu Traore, director of AAN, the African Advocacy Network in San Francisco. And to see that list of countries approved for AB60 licenses, go to KALW.org, click on Cross Currents. And we'd love to hear from you. What's your experience with the DMV? Email us at news@kalw.org or leave a message on our tip line. It's 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. Because of you, we can proudly say we're listener-supported public radio. Our team includes Geraldine Asu, Lila Day, Audrey Dilling, Tammy Drummond, Chris Hoff, Angela Johnston, Casey Miner, and Stephen Short. Today's show was engineered by James Rollins. The line producer was Liz Mack. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Managing producer is Julie Kane. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. Today's local music is by Them Creatures. They say they're from Transylvania, California, but we know they're from the East Bay. Them Creatures perform tomorrow at Bottom of the Hill in San Francisco. Doors open at 8:30 p.m. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.